Okay, today's daf is daf Mem Beis. We were up to the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara is talking about some of the details of the tzitzis and what is in fact the halacha. So, again, let's start with the Tan Rabbanan on Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Tan Rabbanan, kama chutim hunosin, how many strings go into the tzitzis? Beishamai omim arba, four, which is what we paskin. We put in four, then we bend them over, so they become eight. Beisil omim shalosh, you only put in three strings, which are bent over. All right, kamatei meshuleshes. How much should they be hanging down? In other words, how much is hanging down? Beishamai omim arba, it is four fingers. Beisil, that's the length. Beisil omim shalosh, it is three fingers. And according to Rashi, what this means is that this is a reference to just the part hanging down. But we know that the part that's all tied up is a third of that. In other words, if the part hanging down is four, then the part that's tied up is two. So a total of six. The shalosh. Now these three that Beis Hillel say, Shabbos Hillel Omrim, that means Achas Me'arba B'Tefach, that's three thumbs, which is one quarter of a Tefach, Shal Kaladim of each person. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, Tefach, whenever we talk about Tefach of the Torah, it's Arba B'Gudol, it's four thumbs. Or Shispiktano, or six pinkies. Or Chamesh Petilsa, or it's five index fingers. Ravuna said, Arba, the halach is that you put four strings in, Besoch Arba, within four fingers worth from the edge of the garment, Umeshuleshes, and it's hanging down, Arba, in other words, the free-flowing threads are another four fingers with another two fingers of the rotations and the knots. However, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not four strings that go in. It's not like Beishamai, rather Shlosha. It's three strings that go in. Besoch Shalosh, within three fingers of the edge of the garment. Meshuleshes, and what's hanging down, is Shalosh, is three fingers worth of length. Amar Rav Papa said, Hilchos HaDahalach is Arba. It's four strings that go in. Besoch shalosh, they have to be within three fingers of the edge of the garment. Umeshuleshes, and what's hanging down is arba, is four fingers, and you have another two fingers of what the rotations and the knots. The memra said this. Once you've said this is the halacha, does that tell you dislu shiura, that there are measurements to the tzitzis requirements? Or minute, but I'll challenge you. We learned. There's a brayso that says the word tzitzis teaches you the following. Ein tzitzis ela yotzei. Tzitzis sounds like what comes out of the garment. Ein tzitzis ela mashu. And the word tzitzis sounds like a something, right? A little like a tzitz, something which is a little peak, a little something. And therefore, ukfar alu ziknei beishamai vezikneh beisera l'aliyas yochem beisera. The elders of the household, the elders of the yeshiva of Shammah, and the elders of the yeshiva of Hillel went up to the attic of Yochanan ben Beseir of Amram, and they said, Tzitzis ain lashir. Tzitzis doesn't have a measurement. Kayotze bo lulav. Similarly, you have lulav. Also, ain bo shir. It doesn't have any required measurements. My lav ain lashir klal. So it means it doesn't have any measurement at all. And here you're saying that there is a measurement. It has to be within three fingers of the edge of the garment. It has to hang down. The free-flowing part, four thumbs. The knotted up part, another two thumbs. So Gemara says, "Lo, you're misreading the braisa. The braisa is not saying that there's no measurement to tzitzis. What it means is ain lashir lemala. There's no measurement of how long it could be. If you wanted, you could have the strings go down to your leg too, as long as you want." Avoyesh la shir lamata, but there is a minimum shir of length, which is four thumbs worth. Dilo temach, if you're not going to tell me this, what are you going to say about lulav? Kayotza ba lulav, right? Because the braisa says lulav doesn't have a measurement and tzitzis doesn't have a measurement. So similar to tzitzis is lulav. Ein lo shir, is there a possibility that there's no measurement of the lulav? There's a measurement of the lulav. Hachanami de'en lo shir klal. You're going to say here too that the lulav has no measurement at all. But now we look at a Mishnah. Lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tfachim k'dei l'naneh bo kasha. Lulav that has three tfachim and enough. In other words, another tefach. To shake, and it has to be three fistfuls long, and then another fistful long, a total of four fistfuls long, in order to shake it. That's kasha. So obviously, lulav has a minimum shear. But when we say lulav has no measurement, it means it could be bigger. It could be five tefachim, it could be six tefachim too. Ela ein lo shear means lamala, in terms of how big, the maximum. Lulav has a minimum shear. So hachanami son the tzitzis. When we see that the strings of tzitzis don't have a measurement, it means ein lo shear lamala. There's no measurement of how big they could be. They could be as big as you want. But there is a minimum shear, and that's what we said the halacha was. It has to be on the minimum, at least to start, with four thumbs long in terms of the strings hanging down. And as we saw before, if it gets worn down, if it started off with the right amount, then all you need is enough left to make a little loop. Yeah.
So, when you hang your hands, it has to be like four thumbs longer than, at least. Longer than your fingers. Am I right? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, I don't know about that. It's that these strings are four thumbs. One, two, three, four.
It means the length.
The length. And then this part is another two. It has to be a third of what, of the free flowing.
Uh-huh. You're asking, because I talked to you about that, that it was the length of their tefillin. Remember, that had to go a certain part.
Right.
So this is different. This is the length.
Yeah. It's
great. Thank you. It has to be four tefachim. That's right. 16 thumbs. That's right.
So, like, as an adult, you cannot wear really a tzitzit of a child. You know, it's too short for you.
We saw earlier that you could. Yeah. We said we could. As long as you would wear it in a temporary way, you could.
That was that guy. That was some of the strings.
Right. That was talking about the garment. That's right. Now we're talking about the strings.
So you could have a mini shirt with a very long
tefillin. Right. Rabbi, if this is, it gets torn apart, could they get take the corners off and put them on another fabric?
No.
It cannot be.
No. You have to undo all the strings and retie them. Tana Rabbanim lived in a braisa. Tzitzis. From the word tzitzis, we learn the following. In tzitzis ela anaf. Tzitzis means free-flowing strings. V'chein Omar, as the verse says, v'yikacheni v'tzitzis roshi. He took me by the tzitzis of my head. In other words, he took me by the, you know, what do they call the hair up here? In Yiddish, it's called the chup. It took me by the...
Is that the one I don't have you talking
yes.
about? I don't know the name right.
By the hair over here.
It's called bald, I think. B-A-L-D.
So the hair up on the top, that's free-flowing. Underneath it, they used to mat it, but that would be free-flowing. Rabbi Abaya said another thing, but Tzarech Leproda Ki Tzutzisa D'Armai. You have to separate the strings like the bloris, like the chup of the non-Jews, as Rashi says, tvukos nolmata, the hair on the bottom is all, you know, attached.
Uprutot,
good, on the bottom, uprutot milamala, and they're separated from on top. Tana Rabbanan lived in a braisa. Hitil ala keren. Let's say you put the tzitzis literally on the very corner, very, very edge of the corner. Oh, ala gdil. Or on the threads that are on the very edges. Kshera, the tzitzis is kosher. Les ben Yaakov, posel b'shtem. Les ben Yaakov says both of those are no good. Keman as l'hadam Rav Gidel l'Rav. Like who does the following lesson of Rav Gidel in the name of Rav go? Who said, Tzitzis tzricha shetehen al tefes ala keren. The tzitzis need to be hanging down over the corner. In other words, when you lift it up, it would have to be right, you have to put it into a hole that's above the corner so that it's clearly over the corner. Shenamar, as it says, Vasulam tzitzis al kanfevig dehem. The tzitzis have to be on the corners. Come on, who's that like? That is Kribeleza ben Yaakov, who says that a tzitzis literally on the hem, on the very, very edge of the garment, is not kosher. Amar Rabbi Yaakov. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yaakov says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Bitzarech sheyarchik melo kesher gudol. So you have to keep the whole of the tzitzis away from the very hem, the size of the outside of a thumb. In other words, that's the Rashi says that's the nail with the skin until the first joint, this distance. The Yitzchak Rav Papa, so we need the lesson of Rav Papa, who said that you're three fingers away from the edge. The Yitzchak Rav Yaakov, and we need the lesson of Rav Yaakov. Do you mean Rav Papa? If we would only have had Rav Papa, Avamina Toch Gimel, the Lirchik Tfeh. It means you have to be within three. You can't be more than three fingers away from the edge. But I would have thought, Kamad Makarv Mali, the more you're closer to the edge, even better. It's Rabbi Yaakov. So I need the point of Rabbi Yaakov. You have to be a certain distance away from the edge. And if I would have said just the idea of Rabbi Yaakov, you have to be at least this part away from the edge. That's where the hole has to be. I would have said, okay, you have to be a certain distance away. You can't be too close. But kamad rachik mali. But maybe the further away you are, even better. That's why tzricha, that's why I needed both lessons. That you're supposed to be at least somewhat away. But you know, you shouldn't be too far away. It should be three fingers away at the most, and at least this part away. The nail together with this amount of skin away from the edge. Okay. Ravina and Rav Sama, Havuyasvi Kamed Rav Ashi. They were once sitting in front of Rav Ashi. Chazi Rav Sama, Rav Sama saw him. Lekarne de Glima de Ravina, the edge of the garment of Ravina. Destar uvitzar mimelo kesher gudal, that it got torn, and now the distance between the hole of the tzitzis was more than the whole of the tzitzis from the edge was more than the amount of the thumb, you know, the full thumb amount. Samale, Rav Sama said to Ravina, Lo Savala Mar, Laha, Dama Rabbi Yaakov. Do you not agree with the law of Rabbi Yaakov that the hole has to be a thumb away or so? Amalei said, "B'shas asiya itmar." It was when it was first made. Now it got torn, so now it became bigger. But it's still okay, since when it was first made, it was the right distance. Ichsiv, Rav Sama was embarrassed that he didn't know this law. Amalei Rav Ashi said to Rav Sama, "Lo tatkif lach, don't feel bad. Chad minayu kitrei minan." We have a rule in Masechta Bava Basra. It says that one of the rabbis of Israel once. Even one of the rabbis is greater as two of the rabbis of Bavel. Each rabbi of Israel is equal to two rabbis of Bavel. But when the rabbis of Bavel come to Israel, then they get so great, they become equal to as two of the rabbis of Israel. So you're saying here, you're upset. You didn't know something that Ravina knew, but Ravina is a rabbi of Israel. The rabbis of Israel always know more than the rabbis of Bavel.
They doubled them up, by the way, automatically.
Like they were always, double is great.
Chacham all of a sudden,
that's what Gemara says. Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Okay, some more stories about the tzitzis. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Rami Arba. Rav Acha bar Yaakov used to put four strings in, like the view of Beis Shammai. But v'ayif luhu ma'ayif. He used to fold the four strings into eight strings before he even put them in. And then he used to put it into the hole on the corner of the talus. V'abiklu mevak, and he used to make a slip knot in order to tie in all eight strings. So they have a picture here. Here he would put, he would fold over the four strings, so it's a total of eight strings, and he'd put it through the hole, and then he'd make a little loop, a slip knot to hold the eight strings in. Kasava, because he hold be'inan timnaya beglima. When you put it in, it has to be eight strings going into the garment. To fulfill the pasuk, because the pasuk says gedilim ta'asalacha al arba kanfos ksuscha sher tachasaba. So since it's gedilim, the word gedil itself would already imply two strings. Then it says gedilim, that's already four strings. And then it says al arba, it says psil b'makom psil. That means that where you knot the strings, you have to fold them over. Since we're already up to four, you have to fold them over. It's already up to eight when they first go in. However, others didn't do this. And we'll see what others did. Rav Yirmiyah Medifta Rami Timnaya. Rav Yirmiyah Medifta would take eight strings to Inhu Shitzar and then fold them over to make them a total of 16 strings, then put them into the garment. For lo avaklu, and he wouldn't make a little slip knot to hold them in right away. Mar b'rid Ravina, mar the son of Ravina, avid kididan, he does like what we do, which is to put four strings in. So when it goes in, it's four strings. And then once it's in, it then gets folded over, becomes eight.
Wait, wait, so the first guy made the knot before he put it through the hole, that's what I'm saying?
He folded it.
Yeah.
So it's eight.
Yeah.
And then put it in. I made a slip knot to hold it as eight.
Everyone didn't eventually make a knot, like else would say.
Yeah, everyone else did knots, but so they didn't necessarily make a slip knot.
Oh, the type of knot he made was different.
Mm-hmm.
Seven of them are, you know, sort of not being twisted.
Right.
Only one is twisted
does the
around
rotations around. That's right. All right, so now we get into a discussion, which is actually, you know, again, like on Yom Kippur, we learned about Yom Kippur, so we learn about lulav and sukkah today. So we learn about the topic of making a bracha when building a sukkah. We know that we make a bracha before we do a mitzvah. What about a heksha mitzvah? When we are preparing the mitzvah, does that also garner a bracha? Rav Nachman Ashkechan Rav Ada Bar Ahava. Rav Nachman met Rav Ada Bar Ahava Rami Chuti. He was putting tzitzis into the garment. The Kamevarech, and he made a bracha on the putting of the tzitzis, the tying of the tzitzis onto the garment. Asher kitshan mitzvos v'tzivanu la'asos tzitzis. Amar leis, Rav Nachman said to Rav Ada, my tzitzis shmana. What am I hearing the word tzitzis here? What's going on? Making a bracha? Achim Rav, but I've heard from Rav. Tzitzis ain't tzricha bracha. When you make the tzitzis, it doesn't get a bracha. When you put on the tzitzis, it gets a bracha. When Rav Huna died, oh, Rav Chizda, the Mirma, Rav Chizda came in, he became the head of the yeshiva and sura, and he asked the contradiction of Rav against Rav. Umiyama Rav Tzitzis Ein Tzrich and Bracha is what Rav Nachman is saying. What Rav Nachman had said, is that true that tzitzis don't need a bracha when you make them? How do we know that if a non-Jew makes the tzitzis, it's no good? Because it says, speak to the children of Israel, tell them when they will make tzitzis. B'nei Yisrael, yes, Jews make tzitzis. Non-Jews don't make tzitzis. What's the contradiction here? One thing is, don't make a bracha when you make tzitzis. The other thing is that the Jews should be making the tzitzis. The question like this, I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef explained. Kosav Rav Chizda, Rav Chizda explained. Rav Chizda holds like this. Call mitzvah shekshei rabo v'kochavim. Any mitzvah that a non-Jew could make it. Then be Yisrael, if a Jew makes it, ein tzarech levarech, then there's no need for a bracha when he makes it. But call mitzvah shepsula bovet kochavim. But any mitzvah that a non-Jew couldn't make it, be Yisrael tzarech levarech. Then the Jew needs to make the bracha when he makes it. So now we understand The question, if Rav holds that non-Jews can't make the tzitzis, that means the Jews have to make the tzitzis. So if Jews need to make the tzitzis, then they should be making the bracha, shekitshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, alasiyas, tzitzis. Gemara says, one second. V'klalahi, is this a rule? Whoever the non-Jews can't do it, then the Jews have to make a bracha. But whoever non-Jews could do it, Jews don't make a bracha. Hare milo d'ksher bovet kolchav. A non-Jew could do bris milah, according to this opinion. Titanu in a brisa. Irshein barofe Yisrael, a city that doesn't have a Jewish mohel. Yesh barofe armoi, and it has a non-Jew who's a mohel. Barofe kuti, and it has a kuti, a Samaritan who's a mohel. Yimol armoi, val yimol kuti. Better to have the non-Jew do it than to have the kuti do it, because the kutim really worshipped idols. Div Rabbi Meir, it's a Rabbi Meir. And they might do the milah for the idol worship. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, better the kuti. Below armoi. Better have the kuti and not the non-Jew, because the non-Jew might kill the baby. The kuti won't kill the baby. So what do you see? That according to this brayse, the non-Jews can do milah. And nevertheless, be Yisrael tzarech levar, certainly when a Jew does it, he has to make a bracha. We learned, Hamal Omer, when a person does milah, he makes a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam, asher kitchanu mitzvos v'tzivanu, al hamilah. So the Gemara said, one second, me do time el Rav. We're just trying to explain the views of Rav. Rav, mifsul pasil. Rav doesn't allow a non-Jew to do bismillah. That's like us. Now we understand why a Jew makes a bracha on it. Hitman, we learned in the base medjish, minayin le milah ovid kochav shepsula. How do we know that a non-Jew doing a milah is disqualified? Daru bar papa, mishmei de Rav amar, daru bar papa answered. In the name of Rav, the verse says that Hashem told Avram Avinu, the Atas PC Tishmar, and you will keep my covenant. And the rest of the verse is Ata, you, Bizaracha, Karecha, and your seed after you, Lidorosam, for all their generations. In other words, you and your seed have Brismila, not the non-Jews. Rabbi Yochanan says a non-Jew can't do Brismila because of the verses that said Himol, Yimol, which means Hamol, the one who gets Brismila, Yamul is the one who can give Brismila. Okay, so Brismila can't be done by a non-Jew. So now we're back to the question of Rav Chisda. How could he say that you don't need to make a bracha on tzitzis? Anytime a non-Jew can't do it, you do need to make a bracha, and a non-Jew can't make the tzitzis. Says the Gemara, Sukkah misayale. Sukkah is a proof to the rule. Tfilin, havi tiyufta. And tfilin, though, is a disproof of the rule. Hare sukkah, consider sukkah. Dikshere bo v'kochavim. A non-Jew can make the sukkah. The Tanya's went in a brice and set the sukkah. Sukkah sov v'kochavim. A sukkah made by non-Jews to provide for themselves with shade. Or sukkah's nashim. A sukkah made by women. Sukkah's behema. A sukkah made just to give shade to animals. Sukkah's kutim. A sukkah made by the Samaritans. Sukkah mikomakom. Or even sukkahs that are even less than this. Sheira is kasha, as long as it was made for the sake of shade, it has to be more shade than sun, and the skach has to be detached from the ground. Ubi Yisrael, and when a Jew, so you see, a non-Jew can make a sukkah, and when a Jew makes a sukkah, ain't sarach levarach, he doesn't need to make a bracha for putting up the sukkah. The Tanya's went in a brisa. Hosa sukkah la'atzma omer baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech olam shachiyanu v'kiyanu v'kiyanu l'zman hazeh. Person who makes a sukkah says shachiyanu when he sits in the sukkah. Ba'aleshiv ba'omer. Once he starts eating, he says, Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech olam shachiyanu v'kiyanu v'tzivanu. Leishiv ba'sukkah. V'hu la'aso sukkah lo mevarech. But there is no bracha of shachiyanu v'kiyanu v'tzivanu. La'asos sukkah. So that would be like the view of Rav, as we have Rav Chisda presenting it. It's something which can be done by the non-Jew. Doesn't get a bracha. But tefillin is tiyufta. But tefillin is a disproof. Because our tefillin, the psulas of the kochavim, tefillin, are disqualified if a non-Jew makes the tefillin. The tani, Rav Chinuna b'rei de Rava, as Rav Chinuna taught in the Rav Chinuna, the son of Rava. Now turning to Membez. Me, Pishranaya, from this place, Pishranaya taught, Sefer Torah tefillin mezuzos, a Sefer Torah tefillin or mezuzos, Shuksav and Tzeduki that are written by a Sadducee who's a heretic who doesn't believe in the Torah, or Kuti, or written by a Samaritan, or Ovid Kochavim, or by a non-Jew, or by an Eved, by a slave, or by an Isha, a woman who's not obligated, or by a katan, or by a child, or by a mummer, by a person who's a wanton violator of Torah, and therefore he's a heretic. Psulin are no good. Shadeh, because it says, Amazus Besach Misharecha. So we interpret Ukshartam, you should tie them, Uksaftam, and you should write them. Kol Sheyesh Nam Kshira, those who are obligated in the tying, Jews, men, were obligated in tying on tefillin. Yesh no b'ksiva, they can write mezuzahs and they can write tefillin. Kol she'en no b'kshira, but people who are not obligated in the tying, like a woman or a non-Jew, ain't no b'ksiva, they cannot tie. Okay, so the tefillin is something that a non-Jew can't make, and yet there'll be a shalom tzarech levarech. But if a Jew makes it, he doesn't make a bracha. The shalach Rav Chiya b'rei Rav Huna mishmei de Rav Yochanan, because Rav Chiya the son of Rav Huna sent in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, al tefillin shel yad omer, when you put the tefillin shel yad on, you make a bracha, baruch atah Hashem lokein melech olam, asher kitchen mitzvah v'tzivan elohan niach tefillin. Al tefillin shel rosh, you put on the tefillin shel rosh, you make another bracha, baruch atah Hashem lokein melech olam, asher kitchen mitzvah v'tzivan al mitzvah tefillin, but lasos tefillin lo mevarech, but there is no bracha for lasos tefillin. So if so, what's Rav Chisda talking about? Rav Chisda says that tzitzis don't need a bracha. We said the reason why tzitzis wouldn't need a bracha is because what? Because a non-Jew can't make it. So what? It shouldn't need a bracha. Ela lav hainu taima. So what's going on is like this. Sometimes you make a bracha when you make the mitzvah item. Sometimes you don't. The reason like this. Kol mitzvah d'asiyasa gmar mitzvah. If the making is a completion of the mitzvah, kagon mila, like bris mila, when you cut, that's the mila.
That's it.
You make a bracha. Af agav d'ksheir bovet kochavim, if a non-Jew could do it, b'Yisrael tzarech levarech, when the Jew does it, he has to make a bracha. Chol mitzvah da'asi yasa lav gmar mitzvah, but when the doing is not yet the completion of the mitzvah, it's just the preparation, it's just creating the item for the mitzvah, let's say making tefillin. Could go in tefillin, like making tefillin. You haven't yet finished the mitzvah when you make the tefillin. Afal gav de psugos ba'oved kochavim, even though non-Jews cannot do it, b'Yisrael ein tzarech levarech. A Jew doesn't need to make a bracha. U'betzitzis, and in tzitzis, when you make tzitzis, what's the argument? Bakam ifkin is the argument. Mar savar Rav Chisda holds chovas talishu. It's an obligation on the garment. So therefore, the moment you attach the strings, you fulfill the mitzvah. Because the garment has to have strings. So once the garment has strings, that's the mitzvah. Therefore, he says, you make a bracha on the putting of the strings on. Umar savar. Whereas the other view, Rav Nachman, quoting Rav, was, chovas gavrahu. It's an obligation once the person puts it on. So therefore, you haven't finished the mitzvah just by tying it on. Therefore, there's no bracha just for the tying it on. Just to finish the sugya, Amar Le'er of Mordechai Rav Ashi. Rav Mordechai said to Rav Ashi, Atun Hachi Mas Nisula. This is how you said over the idea of Rav. The Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, tzitzis made by a non-Jew are pasul. And so he had a question. So then why doesn't a Jew make a bracha? But by the way, Anan Hachi Mas Nisula. We had a different version of it. That Amar Rav Yehuda Rav. How do we know that tzitzis made by a non-Jew are kosher, can be used by a Jew? Because the verse says, speak to the children of Israel, and they shall make for themselves tzitzis. That means, yasulahem acherim, others will be making tzitzis for them. Non-Jews will be making tzitzis for them. So if non-Jews can make it, so now we understand that was the original explanation, that any mitzvah that could be done by the non-Jew does not get a bracha of la'asos.
So in abbreviation, mezuzah has to be done by a Jew.
Yes.
Tefillin has to be done by a Jew.
Yes.
Sisit could be a Gentile or a Jew.
That's an argument.
That's an argument. A sukkah has to be done by a Jew or
no,
non-Jew.
No, can be done by a non-Jew.
Non-Jew could be done. Brit Milah.
It's an argument as well.
It's an argument. So a lot of people, they're doing it in the hospital, you know, with the doctors and non-Jew
maybe
doctors.
They're relying on this view that the non-Jew can do it.
Yeah.
Robert. Yeah. Yes.
The guy that's preparing for us, it's your tatiti.
Yeah.
Do it again?
No, it's not open.
It's three things.
It's kosher.
I don't need to move.
Unless
no, it's kosher.
Just because it's partly a
share. Yeah.
Make a donation.
Okay, we are here on Mem Beis, Ahmed Beis. Now deal at the dot, the middle of the page, dealing with the issue now of Tas of Aloma Asli. Let's say in the weaving of the garment, there was a thread that was protruding like a thorn. And now, once you have the garment, you want to take that thread and make it as one of the strings of tzitzis. Or umina nimin, or from one of the strings of the tzitzis that were left, one of the strings that were left after you sewed the garment. Or umina gradin, or from some of the leftover, stumps of threads after it's woven. It's psula, it's no good. These strings weren't put there for the sake of tzitzis. But minasisim, but if you have a spool full of thread and you want to use that thread for tzitzis, ksheirot kasher. In other words, you don't need to spin the thread to make the thread for tzitzis. You just need to put the threads onto the garment as tzitzis, according to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. However, kiamrita kamei Shmuel, but when I told this lesson in the name of Rav before Shmuel Amar, he said, no, af minasisim psula. If you go take a spool of thread and you now tie from those threads tzitzis, it's not kosher. Because the threads have to be spun for the sake of mitzvah tzitzis. They have to be made from fibers into threads for the sake of tzitzis. And the regular spool wasn't done, and therefore it's not kosher. The truth is, this question is kitanayi, is a machlokas tanoim. Do we need the earlier stages of the manufacture to be done lishma as well? We have this argument in regards to tefillin. Tzipan, let's say a person covers the parshios of tefillin, zav, with gold. In other words, that the boxes of the tefillin are made of gold. O shetala alehen or behemoth mea. Or he made the boxes of tefillin out of skin of a non-kosher animal. Psulos, the tefillin are pasul. But, or behemoth tahora, but if you use the skin of a kosher animal, it could be a sheep, it could be a cow. Ksheros, it's kosher. Even though the skins weren't worked into being a box for the sake of tefillin. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Or behemet tahora, psulos, that she abdin lishman. Even using the skin of a kosher animal, it's not enough. You have to make the skin, you have to push the skin into shape, lishem, for the sake of the mitzvah of tefillin. So the same question will be in regards to tzitzis. Do the threads themselves have to be made for the sake of tzitzis? Or just attaching the threads to the garment has to be done for the sake of the mitzvah of tzitzis. And now we get into the topic of tcheles. Amalei Abai, Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, Rav Abai, said Rav Shmuel, the son of Rav Yehuda, ha-tchilta tcheles, hechi tzavitulu, how do you make the dye? Amar Leis, Rav Shmuel said to Rabbi, Maisin Adam Chilazon. We bring the blood of the Chilazon creature, Visamanim, and different spices. Really, it could be any spices that'll work. Ramina Lubiyora, we put it into a big bowl, a big pot, Umar Tachinan Lei, and we boil it until we get the blue dye. Then Vishaklina Purta Bibiuta, we take a little bit of this dye into an eggshell, the ta'amina luba udra, and we check if it's good dye by putting in a little piece of material. Then v'shadina le'lahu bayata, we have to throw out that dye that was in this eggshell. And then v'kalina le'udra, then we burn the little swath of material that was the test material. So shmamina class, we see from this law three things. Shmamina t'ima psula, that what we did just as a test is not going to work for tzitzis. You can't use it as tzitzis. Shmamina, we see another thing, to be inan tzvi l'shma, because the dipping of the string into the dye has to be for the sake of mitzvah tzitzis, not for the sake of testing to see if the dye works. And number three, shmamina t'ima psula, that not only is this dye no good, but we couldn't put this dye of the test back into the big bowl, we had to throw it out. It would disqualify the bowl if it would be put in. So the Gemara asks, one second, Hainu Tzimu Psula, Hainu Tzvi Lishma. The first two laws are the same thing. That number one, what you dyed as a test doesn't work. And number two, because you need to dye Lishma. So Amar Ravashi, you're right. Matam Kama, this is the explanation of it. Matam Tzimu Psula, why is it that the material put into the little bit of dye as a test is no good for tzitzis? Mishim Dubi'in on Tzvi Lishma, because the dyeing has to be for the sake of the mitzvah of tzitzis. Kitanai, this really is an argument of the Tanaim, these issues. We learned in a Braisa. Tama Pasla, If he checks the die, he ruins all the die that's in that utensil. Mishum Shinam, because the verse says, Vasisas Milo Eifold Klil Tcheles. So since it says Klil Tcheles, that means the garment has to be dyed with all of the Tcheles. And once you took a little bit out of the test, you don't have all of the Tcheles. Even if you use the Tcheles and now you use it a second time with the leftovers, it's kosher. Mishum shenemar ushni tolas. It says the second tolas is scarlet. But since it says the word shni tolas, it's to say also that you can dye twice. You can make a dye. When something's left, you can dye it of that a second dyeing. And that also will be kosher. Okay.